Me pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this morning and just for all that you have planned. I thank you for the word that you've given me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would anoint it and that our hearts and our minds would be open to be renewed and transformed into your image. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to come and minister to us today. May we sense your presence and your glory in this place. May we know your hand upon our lives. As we listen to your word, may it transform us and lead us into your presence. We just commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Alrighty. So I always tell people I'm a teacher, not a preacher. Okay, so I always do something that's at least a little bit interactive in what I do. So are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to get up out of your seat? Some yes, some no. Okay. Now, if you're unable to get out of your seat, I understand that. That's okay. But otherwise, okay, I'm a teacher. Okay. So I'm teaching a very familiar passage. I'm teaching a very familiar passage this morning. I'm teaching from the book of Luke, if you want to turn in your Bibles. The book of Luke, yeah, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. It's the story of the prodigal son. Which, being Missions Week, everyone's like, yay, prodigal son, yes, we've got to pray for the lost. Amen. Absolutely. So it ties in nicely with Missions Sunday, and from what I understand, it's going to tie in nicely with what Fritz is going to preach on next week. So I'm going to read through the prodigal son parable, and then we're just going to look at it in a little bit more detail. So this is Jesus speaking, of course, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed and the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Amen. Okay. Wow, the parable of the prodigal son. Some people have said it should be called the parable of the prodigal father. Because prodigal, of course, means lavish. So what's this story all about? Tell me, what is it about? About forgiveness? Yeah, it's about forgiveness. Father's love? Yeah. Repentance? Could be a bit about... There's a lot of sermons in this, isn't there? Hey? So when we think of this story of the prodigal son, we think of it as a story about a non-believing son who wants to live his life the way he wants to live it. And so he takes his inheritance and squanders his life with reckless living. And the Bible says, with prostitutes. And when he realizes that he's made a mess of his whole life and feels his life is worthless, he returns to his father, who not only forgives him, but embraces him and celebrates his return. We think of the father as the loving father who forgives his son and takes off his grave clothes and clothes him with a new robe, which represents righteousness in right standing. He puts sandals on his feet, which is a sense of belonging and covenant. Covenants were made with sandals in those days. Okay. And he puts a ring on his finger, which gives him back authority. And of course, we think of the elder brother as the jealous brother, who despises his younger brother for wasting his life and then coming back and getting back everything that he had already squandered. Now, I can relate to all three of these people. I remember I squandered my life and lived a bad life. I basically walked away from God at the age of 12 years old. And my brother Mike, who I think you were 18 when you got saved, am I right? It was 18 or 19? 16! Oh my gosh, I was only 12. So you got saved when I walked away from God. I never knew that. Oh my gosh. I learned something new about my brother. I always thought you were 18. 18 or 19. Anyway, so he prayed for me for 20 years before I got saved. Never give up praying. I'm so thankful for my brother Mike. Like, I love him so much. And I'm so thankful that he prayed for me all those years. Now, I'll have been a Christian 20 years this year. I got saved in November of 1998. I think it was the 16th, if I remember the date correctly, of November, at a Franklin Graham crusade here in Perth, actually, at what was the Burswood Dome, which I was very surprised when I came back one year and it just disappeared. It's not there anymore. But yeah, I got saved at a Franklin Graham crusade, and I have no idea what Franklin shared. Absolutely no idea. I don't know what it was like for you when you got saved, but when I got saved, I don't remember what he said at all. All I remember was I was at the back of the auditorium. It was probably about three quarters of the way down the back. There was probably maybe 5,000 people on that particular day. And all I remember was somehow I got from the back to the front and I gave my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'll be celebrating 20 years of serving the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. 14 of which, of course, has been serving him in South Africa. So this is how we often look at this parable. We look at it as non-believers who this non-believing son who's gone away from God and lived his life the way he wants to live his life, and then eventually he comes back and the Father, God, accepts him back. But what if the story's not really about a non-believing son? What if we think of the story as not about a non-believing son who returns to his father, God, but about a believing child, someone who knows God, but he's decided to live his life the way he wants, doing what he wants when he wants it. He's saved, but he wants to live his life the way he wants. And what if the elder brother also was a believing son who received salvation but didn't recognize what he'd been given? Hence, he lived his life as if he were not a son, but an orphan, not understanding what he'd received and therefore living as if he hadn't. The Father, God, loves them both. And he welcomes them both into the celebration. Now, whether you think of the story is about non-believing sons or believing sons, I have a question for you. This is where the application comes in. So here's the question. Who do you relate to most? Do you relate more to the non-believing son who squandered his life and has never come back to the Lord? Maybe that's the case for someone here. Or maybe you're the believing son who is living your life the way you want to live it, but you just want salvation. But you're not living as God intended you to live. Possibly you're the elder brother who believes, but he lives his life as an orphan and not as a son. Even though he has everything, he doesn't recognize the inheritance he already has. Or possibly you relate to the father who longs to see his sons understand the inheritance that he's already been given. I can relate to the younger son because I've been there before I came to Christ. I can also relate to the elder brother, my younger brother, when he is very sick, still sick, has a genetic disease which gives him very rare cancers. And as a result, the doctors love him. They poke and prod at him because they see all these rare cancers, which is good for them, not much good for him. But he's very sick. And when he was younger, he received his inheritance. Mum and Dad sat us down and they said, look, Andrew's not well, we need to provide a place for him. So they bought him a unit and they gave him the unit and they said, this is his inheritance. But of course, Dad's passed away now and then he's still alive, hasn't died yet. And of course, when Mum dies, he'll get his inheritance. And for a very long time, I had to work through this issue of thinking like the elder brother, being jealous of my younger brother because he'd already been given his inheritance and now it's been given back. I can very much relate to this parable. But more so now, I relate to being a father. As I get older, there is a greater urgency in my heart to see people discipled and come to know the Lord. There's a greater urgency to see people empowered, as Jane said, to see people empowered to go out and make disciples. And so now I relate more so to being the father. But my question is, who do you relate to most? And I want to do a prophetic act today. I'm done preaching. Now we're going to actually put it into application. So I want you to all stand in a minute. And if you feel more like the younger son, I want you to stand or sit on this side of the room. If you feel more like the elder brother, I want you to come into the middle. And if you relate more to being the father now, I want you to come over to the right-hand side. Will you do that for me? Can we do that? Okay, let's do that now. So younger sons to my left, elder sons in the middle, and fathers to the right. Okay, how are we doing? Is everyone in their right position? Okay, so in this row here, who do I have here? Are we fathers or elder brothers? Elder brothers? Yeah? Elder brothers. Over in this one? Also elder brothers? Okay, and over here we have our youngest sons. Okay. So God calls us to this ministry of reconciliation, reconciling ourselves to Him, but also reconciling others to Him as well. We have lost sons. We have jealous older brothers, and we have fathers who long to see their sons and daughters come and celebrate in His kingdom. So what I want to do first is, this might be difficult or a little bit uncomfortable. Are you ready to step outside your comfort zone just a little bit? I want the elder brothers to go and pray for the younger sons. Come, Lord Jesus. I want the fathers who long to see their children come into the understanding of their full inheritance to go and pray for all of your children.
Holy and anointed one.
Thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. Father, that you are transforming minds, Father, that you're transforming thinking, Father, to be in line with the truth of your word, who they are as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, I thank you for the younger sons. I thank you for the elder brothers. And Father, I thank you for the fathers and mothers of this house. Father, you've shown us those who need your comfort and your strength. Help us to be mothers and fathers that will embrace our children, that will lead them into your presence and into the inheritance that we have in you. Continue your work, Holy Spirit, in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.